Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Chronicle. I'm your host, Karan. So on this episode today, we have another special guest. We'll be talking about spirituality, things like Reiki, tarot readings, past life regression, hypnotherapy, and how that all ties in with mental health. So stay tuned. But first, let's hear a word from our sponsor. All right, so today I have Monique Pliakis. She is a certified hypnotherapist who also does Reiki, past life regression, tarot reading. She's also a podcaster, an artist, and makes Organite. And so I would like to welcome Monique to the podcast today. All right, so thank you so much for being here. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Thank you for having me on your show. Thank you to the listeners for tuning in. My name is Monique Pliakis, and I am a certified hypnotherapist. I am also a tarot reader, a Reiki master practitioner, and I make Organite.
That's super cool. What is Organite?
So Organite is a device that basically neutralizes harmful radiation, EMFs, which are electromagnetic frequencies. It's basically made of organic and inorganic material that utilizes quartz. And quartz is often found in watches and computers because it's piezoelectric. So it basically creates energy. So using the quartz crystal, you're creating a current of electricity that is neutralizing with the ingredients of the device. It's basically metal and resin or beeswax, and that pressure creates the piezoelectricity with the quartz, and it just neutralizes harmful EMFs. So I make that, and I add other crystals in. I try to make it pretty, but very I really wanted to be more functional first.
Yeah, that's so cool. And what got you interested in like Reiki, tarot, hypnotherapy, all of those things?
Well, I think it kind of stems back from my childhood. I was always kind of the odd child. My friends were rocks and trees, and I felt like I never fit in. And basically I'm an empath, so I feel people's energy. And like, I would go up to, as a child, like hugging people, I could feel that they needed a hug. And my parents were like, finally, Monique, you can't go hugging people. You can't go hug strangers. I'd hug the bus driver. And, you know, it was just, but I could also tell like people that gave me a bad feeling, like stay away from these people. I would see things like little, like white kind of sparkly sort of bits of energy, realizing that I was seeing spirit. I was seeing fairies or fae. I was seeing other things. And, when I was 19, on the East Coast, we have a store called Newberry Comics, and they sold, or they're still open. They sell comics and gifts and all different things. Well, one day I was in there and they had a display for Rider Waite Tarot. And there was just like this magnetic draw where it was like, it was so weird. It was just like, you need this. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, I don't know. I got a deck and I started doing readings for my friends. And my friends were like, wow, that's really accurate. That's spot on. But I also had people starting to get freaked out by it. Like, how do you know that? And I'm like, it's not me. It's the cards. Yeah. You know, it was that, like that fear of like, don't judge me. I'm not weird.
Right.
And so I actually stopped reading for a while. And then some years back, I found out about Organite, and my husband and I purchased some Organite devices. And I was really looking into it, and I thought, I can do this because I'm the kind of person I like to do it myself and put my right. love and my energy into it. And I thought I can make this. So I started making Orgonite and it started getting prettier the more I did it. And I just did it so much because I loved making it. I get in a meditative state. My feet are bare feet in the ground. So I'm grounding and I just start, you know, making it. And I'm like, I'm going to open an Etsy shop because I have so much and maybe somebody right. else would like it. So I do that, but I actually am veering away from Etsy and I have a website, tarotbymonique.com. I offer tarot readings and you can buy Orgonite there just because Etsy isn't very good to their sellers.
Gotcha.
And they charge a lot of fees. So if I sell something for like $30, I'm maybe getting like 20 to 25 of that.
Gotcha.
So they kill you with fees and they're just not very fair. And they are starting to violate our privacy as sellers, our financial privacy. So it's one of those things I'm going to start backing away slowly, but I have a website and I've been doing that. So with hypnotherapy, I'm doing these things where with tarot and with Orgonite, feeling like, okay, I'm helping because I just feel like I need to help. I want to help people. I want to help others.
Right.
And I watched a documentary about Michael Newton with past lives and life between lives and hypnotherapy. And watching that was like this light bulb, Eureka, this is the missing piece of how I can help people. And I decided I wanted to go to the Newton Institute and you have to be certified to do that.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, I need to get certified. So they have teachers that they recommend you can do the courses through. And it's a lot of work getting certified. It's not like, oh yeah, I take an 8-hour class. This was hundreds upon hundreds of hours of learning in class, reading and practicing, watching videos, like all these different ways to learn. And so there's a lot of work before you can even get certified. So I did that for general hypnotherapy and past life regression.
Okay.
And so doing that, I realized that my whole life I've been doing Reiki, but not realizing it and doing it incorrectly. So I was using my own energy, and Reiki healing is energetic healing for anyone who isn't aware. We usually use our hands, but it doesn't have to be through touch. You can do it remotely because, you know, I pass energy through, like, I don't think people realize how strong our energy is.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, so I can do it remotely, but I learned how to do it properly. So I wasn't draining myself. So I became a Reiki master practitioner, but I actually usually only do it in hypnotherapy. Like if I know you, I'll do it, but I don't offer it outside of hypnotherapy, and there's no extra charge during hypnotherapy if you want or need it. It's one of those things where if my client or I feel it's needed, it's offered. And there's no charge extra or anything like that. It's just part of what it is. But I was like, it's another way to help somebody during a session because with hypnotherapy, even the times when you don't expect anything traumatic to come out, it can. Because anything can come up. Your subconscious mind is saying, hey, this needs to be paid attention to. This is what's going on. Pay attention to this. And sometimes it's memories. And all of a sudden it can bring that trauma back or that fear. And sometimes they just need some healing. So that's why it's very nice to have that in my toolbox with Reiki.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And as you're talking about that, it really, so I do EMDR therapy with a lot of my clients. And as you're talking about that, it does bring up some of those things around EMDR. Yes. And for anyone that doesn't know what EMDR is, it's eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And it's really good with trauma therapy and healing through trauma. Yeah. And
we actually learned about that when I was learning hypnotherapy because it kind of goes hand in hand. And it was one of those things that are like, it's really good to learn about as you're learning, because the more you know about different methods, the better.
100%. Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah. And so if you could give a definition of what hypnotherapy is, what would you say that is for you?
I would break it down into the words. You have hypno for hypnosis. So my clients are hypnotized. And then there is the therapy part, which is we're doing therapy.
Yeah.
Whether you think it's in a way that feels like therapy or not, it really is therapy. Because even if we do inner child work, where you go and you meet your inner child and you talk to them, it's still therapy. That is a part of you.
Yeah.
And I actually, so we have regular inner child work where you talk to them, what do they need? Like you do things with them. But then I have an inner child too, which is kind of the next step that we can go into, where we play, we have fun, we sing, we dance, we play games. We're a child with our inner child, because it's a chance to, like, I guess the best way to put it is life gets so serious.
Right.
It can be really, really hard at times. And we forget to laugh and we forget to have fun or find the fun in the positivity where we can. And that's where that inner child part, let's work on anything that needs to be healed with that child, do that, but also have fun, because that is a part of you.
Yeah. 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 And that, so one thing that I have been looking at and recently is like ego states and different parts work and all of that. That reminds me of that as well.
Oh, parts therapy is my jam.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I love doing with clients, because I've actually found a majority of finding out how to help yourself can be done through parts therapy.
Yes.
So we talk to the physical you, the mental intellectual you, the emotional you, and the spiritual you. And for anyone listening, if you're not a spiritual person, it's not religious, you can say it's your subconscious, but I have people tap into their higher selves.
Yeah.
And the information. So it's not just, what do you need? How do we realistically get there? Because if my client is told, you need to meditate more, you need to drink more water. Okay, well, obviously it's not easy for them, or they'd be doing it.
Right.
So how do we realistically get there? And the spiritual self is the one who really gives all the answers. And when I do it, I have it so it can be a three-way conversation. It's myself, the client, and their spiritual self.
Okay.
And so we can all talk to each other. So I'll say, for example, client Mary, you know, I'll ask the spiritual self, how would you like me to address you? And usually they'll have different names of how they want to be addressed. And so that way we can kind of tell the difference between client Mary and Mary's spiritual self.
Okay.
And then we'll get in conversation. Okay, well, Mary needs, you're saying she needs to meditate more, but it's very difficult. How do we get there? How do we realistically get there in baby steps? So if she needs to do 10 minutes a day, how do we start? I had one client whose higher self is saying, start with going for walks 5 minutes a day.
Yeah.
And that was like the starting point. Go for walks. Like, and if you can't do it every day, try to do 2 days a week. Yeah. And then go to 3 days a week and you build yourself up. So it was like, here I am. I'm just trying to pull out the information you're looking for if you're not doing it already. And then we find out how to realistically do it. I had one client who had crippling anxiety, who after one session with parts therapy, better. She went from a vicious circle of anxiety to being stuck in traffic at a new job, gonna be late. And after our session was like, I realized there's nothing I can do about it. I turned on the radio and I sat in traffic. And it was like, yes. So you can have results even in one session. I mean, it all depends on what's going on with you.
Right.
And the other part is, a lot of times people are afraid to confront and face what's coming out, and that can set us back. So I always tell my clients to be honest. If something's coming that you're not ready to face or talk about, just say so, because what they'll say is, I'm not getting anything. So I'll keep trying with them, but what's going on is they just don't want to say it.
Exactly.
And if there's something that you're getting information, but you don't want to repeat back to me, that's okay too. Just make a mental note of that. And just let me know you're getting something, but you don't want to say it out loud. Because again, sometimes I get it. I'm a stranger. So
100%.
So I try to let my clients be aware that we can be honest with each other without giving all the information if you're not comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. And so thinking about that, when you're trying to build the relationship with people that are coming in either for hypnotherapy or tarot readings, how do you build that relationship so that they do trust whatever you are saying to them?
Well, with tarot, it can be a cold call kind of thing where it's like they
Okay.
come to me and I just do a reading. I actually did one for somebody and it was just a three-card reading of, about a specific topic. And it was so funny because I have no information and I'm going with what the cards are telling me. And I'm like, I feel like something's going on. So I pulled it from a, I have an astrological deck and I pulled from that for clarification. And it kind of basically told me what I was feeling. Like, yeah, you're right about this. And when I
Okay.
presented it to the person, they were like, oh yeah. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, it was like a very weird situation. And I don't want to give specifics, you know, out
Yeah,
of respect,
absolutely.
but it was just like a
Absolutely.
weird situation that is why I got kind of like a not so good feeling about it.
Okay.
And it's not my place to judge what the person was doing. Like, I don't necessarily agree with it. And I think that's why I got a negative feeling with the
Okay.
cards,
Okay.
but it was correct. So it's like I'm going off of nothing and I don't know if I'm right or not, you know, but
Yeah.
it turned out I really was. And that's why I was feeling what I was feeling.
Okay.
But with hypnotherapy, I offer a free 20-minute consult because I need to talk to my clients. Not everyone's visual. When we imagine, for all the listeners or anyone watching, try this exercise. Close your eyes. And I want you to imagine yourself in a park on a beautiful sunny day. Is it visual? Or maybe you feel the sun on you, or you feel the grass, or maybe you just know you're at the park. I mean, it's different for everyone. So not everyone is visual. That's one of
Right.
the keys. Like, how do you imagine? Because that's going to help me get you into hypnosis.
Okay.
And so I have to learn about my client and I ask questions, not just how can I help you? What are you looking for? But how do we get there? And
Gotcha.
it's a matter of basically, once I have you in hypnosis, it's fine. But how do I get you in hypnosis? How do you imagine? How do you talk? If I say the spiritual you and that bothers you, I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say things you're comfortable with. Because again, if you're trying to go in hypnosis and I'm talking about something that makes you uncomfortable or turns you away, that's not going to help you.
Right. Okay. Thank you
Yeah,
so much for that.
absolutely.
And so yeah, what would a typical hypnotherapy session look like with you?
So it varies for each person depending on what we're going to do. I have a number of techniques that I like to utilize. I mentioned parts therapy, where we get in touch with the different parts of ourself. There's Gestalt therapy, which is great when.
Yeah.
So Gestalt therapy, for anyone who's not aware, is basically you get to confront a person that I like to put it as you want to say your piece to. Like sometimes you can't tell people how you feel. So it's your opportunity, whether this person is alive or not, or around or not, to tell them how you really feel. And then you get to be them and answer, and you go back and forth. And I've had clients where I don't even have to say, okay, now be this person. They just do it and they go back
Back
and
and forth.
forth. And then there's an opportunity to give forgiveness if that's needed. And I always like to tell my clients, my mentor taught this to me, was that. And I'm sure the saying's been around for a long time, but refusing to forgive somebody is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It's not for them. The forgiveness is for yourself. It's
Exactly.
to let yourself heal. So, and there's different variations of Gestalt that we can do, but that's another offering. I wrote in hypnotherapy, we have what we call scripts.
Okay.
So it's basically what you're going to say. And I wrote a script for part of an induction for those who don't know. They feel like something needs to change, but they don't know where to start. Sometimes people are so overwhelmed and they don't know what the top priority is. So we could go with parts therapy, but I also have a script that brings us to a place where your subconscious is going to tell you this is where
This
we
is
need to
what,
focus
yep.
first. So there's so many different things. I also do past life regression. And with past life regression, what I do is we go back to a couple happy childhood memories And then we go back to the womb. So the time you were in your mother's womb, because it's a good jumping point into a past life. But the other thing with that, we like to do healing there if it's needed.
Okay.
We get to find out information about your time in the womb. When did your soul come in? Did you stay there the whole time? Did you go in and out? You know, what are you feeling inside? What about your mother? What's going on with her? What is she feeling? I had somebody who basically, the mother was trying to get an abortion and it didn't work. And my client was basically saying, oh my God, I'm trying to get pulled out. And she was an unwanted child. And she knew, you know, and so it was one of those like, okay, this is where a lot of the trauma is coming from.
Yeah.
And I like to do things inside the womb to kind of protect and heal. So that way we can help that person from there. And then we'll go in if it's needed. And then we go into a past life.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And I learned through my own personal first time having my own past life regression. Mm-hmm. I like to say going back to a time doing something you do often and that you enjoy. And the reason for that is because the first time I had a past life hypnotherapy session, and it was while we were training and it was with somebody else doing it, I went right into my death scene. And unfortunately, my death scene was very confusing for me to go into because I had been beaten and I was blacked out and they set my house on fire on the outside. So I was burning alive inside.
Okay.
So it was when I was coming to consciousness, realizing I was being burned alive. So it was a very confusing thing. And what was happening is I was having an ab reaction, which is short for abnormal, which is where people will cry or hyperventilate, which is actually kind of common, not necessarily abnormal if you're doing a lot of trauma work.
Right.
But I knew in my mind, this isn't real. It's not happening right now. But my body was reacting like it was.
Okay.
And so I was brought out of there into another scene. But fast forward as we went through things, realizing that what had happened was I was a healer. And I helped a man's son, and he found out about it because this was in the early 1700s? I think it was like 1720s. And so I was basically like, he got mad. He beat me up. It's not like, oh, you're a witch. It was just, that's not okay. Mm-hmm. Beat me up and then set my house on fire while I was unconscious with me inside. So I was like, okay, how can I learn from this?
Yeah,
and I realized like, I'm just going to be very careful because other people talk about, oh yeah, my clients can just go right into their death scene. And I feel like if we're going to do that, I don't think that's the best place to start.
Right. Right.
Let's go. Let's do something
somewhere else. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And that the Gestalt therapy, like the empty chair, that is a big part of, things that can be so helpful and so therapeutic. I love that quote that you said, because we're not doing this for anyone else. Like the forgiveness that we're trying to do is for us. We're giving people, if we don't forgive, we're giving people the power, the authority over our lives at that point. And that is one thing that I am constantly trying to tell clients when we talk about forgiveness. If you're not letting that happen, you're only hurting yourself. The other person is moving on.
They don't care.
Exactly.
They don't care.
They do not care at all.
Yeah. And it's still hard. So sometimes I'll phrase it, if you're not ready to forgive, can you just let go? Can you just let it go? And that's a good platform to kind of jump off of for like we don't have to go to the high diving board with forgiveness. We can try the smaller one. Just let it go.
Yeah.
Because even that helps.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And letting go is a big part of that too.
Yeah. And it's difficult, especially when you're hurt so badly by people, because one of the things I put on my Twitter one day, because I was thinking about like the nature of people and comparing it to the nature of animals. It's like people are people, animals are animals. They're going to be how they're going to be. And I was thinking, if a wolf tried to eat me, I can forgive the wolf because I know it's its nature.
Right.
But I'm not going to forget.
Right.
Because then I'm setting myself up for it to try to eat me again.
Right.
So that's the other thing. You don't have to like forgive and forget. You can forgive and you can still remember what they did.
Right.
But not be hurt by it because you've let that go. And you know, okay, well, that's them. And what they did was a reflection of them and not me.
Yes. Yes. That's so huge. This is not a reflection of me. This is what they're doing.
Yeah.
This is what they have going on. This mm-hmm. is what I have to see as a them problem versus a me problem.
Absolutely. And if it's okay to share a story about my own past on that. So I worked in veterinary medicine for a very long time. And when I was younger, working in veterinary medicine, part of what we did at the front desk was we filled prescriptions. Mm-hmm. And we would ask people, oh, please call 24 hours in advance so we can have time to get your prescription filled because it has to be approved by a doctor. Well, one very busy Saturday morning, we were short-staffed. Our lobby was completely full and it was a big lobby. And an older gentleman walks in and demands his dog's medication refill. Mm-hmm. And he was so rude and he was so mean. And I'm nicely trying to explain that we don't have any doctors available right now to approve it. I do need you to wait. And he's like, fine, I'll wait. I'm doing my best to find a doctor to approve the medication, to get the refill and get it for him. There was a part of me that just wanted to be mean back to him.
Yeah.
You know, like you're being a jerk to me and I don't deserve that. But I was just like, you know what? Just do your job. You know, don't let this guy bring you down and be positive. You know, try to make it the best experience for him because that's just how I am.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I get his medication and he pauses and kind of looks down and it gets to me. It like chokes me up every time because he was like, thank you. It still gets to me. And he said, this has to work because if this medication doesn't work, it means it's cancer. Mm-hmm. His best friend, his dog was going to die of cancer. That's what he's going through in his mind. And that's what he's dealing with.
Right.
And it was like a hit in the gut. Like, oh my gosh. Oh, like I'm happy I wasn't a jerk to him.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And it made me realize that sometimes people are going through things that we have no idea. And they might be mean. They might be rude. They might be a jerk. Does it mean that they are a jerk or they're generally mean people? No. It means that they're going through something and they're not handling it well.
Yeah.
And so again, they're reflecting that onto you. They're pushing that onto you, whether they mean to or not. But it's one of those things just in life because everyone gets so offended nowadays. And it's like, don't be offended. Just realize that that person might not be in a good place mentally. They might not realize the way things are coming out, or maybe they say it and they regret it after. So it's one of those things, just try to be positive and don't let it get to you. Don't let it hurt you because we don't know what people are going through. And I'm sure we've all had our bad days where maybe we weren't super nice to somebody who deserved it or not. You know what I mean? So
absolutely.
It's one of those things. So I'd like to be forgiven if I was rude to somebody on one of my really bad days. So keep that in mind with when people aren't always the nicest to you.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. It saves
that trauma.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It puts you in a better state to be able to give that positive energy off a little bit more.
One of the things I try to do is when somebody's being rude to me or they've hurt me or like they've done something bad to me, mm-hmm. I always stop and I say, I truly wish them the best because obviously they're not in a good place.
Right.
And I hope they find what they need. And I put that positive energy out there instead of allowing negative energy to fester. It's like, what can I do about this? I'm kind of helpless in the situation, except I can give positive energy.
Exactly.
I can hope that things get better for them.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And so speaking of like energy and energy work and things like that, mm-hmm. how how is Reiki so like important for that energy work?
So a lot of what I'm doing with hypnotherapy, we're doing a lot of healing. Mm-hmm. And I do grounding and stress relief as okay. well. That's one of the other things I do. And it's about energy flow. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I pull the energy from the earth and I have it go through me to that person, but I'm also manipulating the type of energy, healing, protective. What kind of energy do we need? Maybe it's a little bit of everything. It's about not just giving it to the person, but also how is it flowing? Because where are we working mm-hmm. in the heart chakra? Are we working in the solar plexus? Like, where does this need to go? What, and sometimes, even though they're talking about something, there are other parts of the body and even parts of the aura that need some healing. So it's not just like, oh, I'm giving you energy. I'm going off of what I feel.
Yeah.
And what I'm being told. So it's kind of a two-way thing where what I'm feeling is needed and what I'm being told is going on, and merging the two together. So using that energy work, I had a client who's actually a friend of mine, and we were doing grounding during her hypnotherapy session. And I'll have all the energy come out, leave your body, draining out. I have these portals open and it drains into the earth. And then there's a point where I have you on one side pulling in positive energy from the earth. Okay. And the other side, negative energy is coming out. And it's kind of like good coming in, bad coming out.
Gotcha.
And then it's just like, okay, all that bad's out. Now let all the good in. But as I'm doing it, I'm doing Reiki and I'm moving my hands and I'm like manipulating that energy flowing out. And afterwards, she was like, I could feel on my right side all the positive energy coming in, and on my left side, all the negative energy draining wow. out. And I said, that was what I was doing with my hands, yeah. your right side bringing it in and your left side bringing it down. So it was just really cool that what I was doing coincided with what she was feeling. Mm-hmm. So for people who think, oh, it's hooey, it's hogwash, like
right.
not necessarily, because it works for people.
Yeah.
And they can yeah. literally feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. And how have you seen things like Reiki, hypnotherapy, tarot, past life regression, affect or work to improve mental health?
Huge. One of the things I realized when I was learning hypnotherapy is this isn't just to quit smoking or lose weight, which is good. This is about your mental wellness. This right. is about your physical wellness. This is like doing something for yourself because, okay, we have the holidays, you know, we're in December, holidays right. coming up. And I ask most people, if you've gone out to get gifts for somebody else, how much time have you spent for other people? And then how much time have you spent on yourself?
Yes.
We neglect ourselves.
Yep.
We push ourselves to the limit. We're in a day and age where we can't escape. We have our phone. Everyone can reach us.
Yep.
And it's like, we can't really get away. So what do we do for ourselves? People are dealing with insomnia. The stress they deal with takes a physical toll on them. But what are they doing for themselves? With the exception, you know, people be like, oh, now I'm on like all these prescriptions. That's not helping you.
Right. Right.
You need to take time for yourself. And that, so I feel like doing hypnotherapy is a great way to take a couple hours for yourself to do something good for yourself and help you with something you need. Even mm-hmm. a past life regression, if you're just for fun doing it, people right. don't realize that stuff is coming up from that, that we can heal or learn from. It's time for yourself where you're finding a way to better yourself or help yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's so yeah. important to do that because we don't take care of ourselves enough. And we look at it like, well, you know, I'm not as important. I got to take care of my kids. I got to mm-hmm. take care of my house. I have work.
Yep.
Okay. Well, what about you? Right. You can't do any of that if you're not doing okay.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Self-care is the number one thing that I talk to every client about in the first session that I see them, because they come in and they're like, oh, I don't do much of anything for myself, or I'm focused so much on I have one client who talks about needing to do things for family or do things for at work, or I have other I shouldn't say just one client. I have a bunch of clients that talk about that. And so it's so important for us to think about, yeah, how do we want to take care of ourselves?
Yeah.
It's okay for us to take care of other people, but if our cup is empty,
you literally took the words out of my mouth.
We cannot refill anyone else's cup.
Yes. And you can't drink from an empty cup.
Exactly.
That's literally like, okay. Same brain. We're sharing a brain. Yep. Telepathy exactly. Coming through.
Yeah. And for myself too, I have had to think about this so much lately, because I'm in school, I'm working full time. And so I'm trying to pay attention to what I'm doing. I have to keep up with housework, keep up with social life, all of those sort of things. And so I do get very, very bogged down from time to time and forget about the self-care. But then going back and just thinking like, what did I not do? Why did I not take that time? And what can I do now to make sure that I'm replenishing my cup so that I can do the rest of the stuff that I need to do?
Absolutely. And time is our most valuable currency, because yes. Once we spend it, we can't get it back.
Yep.
So, yep. I mean, gosh, even something as simple as taking a bath, giving yourself like, you know, 30, 40 minutes, taking a nice, hot, relaxing bath for yourself and unwinding and like putting on some music or something that's relaxing, blocking out the sound of the kids or whatever else is going on. And just like, it's not selfish. To take time for yourself. And I think so many people confuse that. Like, it's selfish of me to want to do something for myself or want to spend money on myself. That's another thing. I'm like that. And it took so long to be like, it's okay. To do something good for yourself. Yep. And it feels like, and I wonder if it, for many people, is it, you're not worthy of that. You don't deserve it. You haven't earned it. Is that what you're thinking? Because honey, you're alive on this earth. You've earned it.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. And that's actually the number one thing that I hear from people. Mm-hmm. I don't deserve to take this time for myself.
And because, it's so heartbreaking.
Yes. Because I have this going on that has to be done. This person is working harder than I am. The comparisons to other people.
So many of my clients. And I think, again, the day and age, like you go on Instagram and you go on TikTok and Facebook and people look like they're living the high, lavish lifestyle.
Right.
And that's just an illusion. And we are, you know, working, living paycheck to paycheck. And we're working so hard and we can't have that beautiful bathroom or kitchen or that fancy car or that big screen TV because, you know, that just, it's not happening for us.
Yep.
And then we feel like we have to compete with these people and it's like materialism and that doesn't matter. Yep. Are you a good person? How do you treat the people around you? That's what matters. Yep. But social media and TV and everything that we see conditions us. When I was a girl, when I was younger, we'd have Cosmo magazine, you know, like all those like in the 80s and 90s, those women's magazines.
Yep.
And for so long, I thought this is what I'm supposed to look like, or I'm not pretty. Yep. You know, I need a small waist and big boobs and I need to look perfect or I'm not pretty. And for so long, I thought I was fat. I thought I was flat chested. I thought I was ugly because I was manipulated into thinking this is what beautiful looks like. And it's happening with being successful that you have to hit the status quo. Yes. And that's not true.
Yes. Yes. I am constantly challenging my clients to take like social media vacations, things like that, because that's a lot of times where we're getting this comparison from is, oh, this person looks like they're having a really good time. They may be having a good time, but our circumstances are completely different than what their circumstances are. Yeah. And so us comparing them to that is like comparing things that just don't go together.
I know.
Oil and vinegar.
Yes. And the irony of that is, like, with a lot of my clients, when that comes up, it's like, but would you enjoy doing that?
Right.
No, exactly. Because, like, you say you like to stay home and be with your kids. So, like, do you really want to go out drinking and stuff? Like, does that sound like it'd be good? No, but that's what people do. Well, that's what you see other people do, but that's not you. And you need to be true to who you are.
Right.
And again, it all comes down. And that's what I love about, like, with, you know, hypnotherapy and what I do is, what do you need? Mm-hmm. What do you want? The real you, not what other people make you think you need. What do you need?
Yeah.
That's so important because we let that go because we think, well, I have to keep up appearances or I have to do this or that to seem like I'm good. It's like it's all
absolutely.
Crap.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It really is. And people, I think because we live in this age of technology and just seeing influencers and things like that, just doing all this stuff, we're going to continue. It's going to continue to do that.
But think about, think about an influencer. They're getting paid. They're getting paid to tell you to like something.
Right.
Whether they, my husband and I have a podcast and we had people reaching out like, oh, you can be an influencer and promote our brand. And it's like,
right.
No, we promote things. We don't get paid for it. We promote it if we think it's awesome.
Exactly.
We don't get paid for it. That's how we do it because it's honest. But so how can you trust these influencers with anything that they say or any way they appear to be honest? Because they're getting paid for it.
Exactly. Exactly. Yep. And it's so funny because I was on TikTok recently and there was a video where someone was in a coffee shop and was like, mm-hmm. I'm going to get this for free because I'm going to, how did she say it? I'm going to put this on my, I have like thousands, millions of followers. I'm going to put this on my TikTok. I'm going to put this on my Instagram and that's going to increase your business. So this $5 coffee doesn't mean anything to you. The business that you're going to get, that's what it's going to mean to you. And I've seen so many people say like, oh my gosh, I would love to do that. I would love to be able to go into a place and just get something and then put that influence out there. It's like, no, that's not how life works.
And it's not honest.
It's not right.
If you want to influence, do it by your actions, by being a good person, practice what you preach, things like that. Absolutely. Yep. But it comes down to like, do you know what you need? You know, I actually, when I was in school for hypnotherapy, we have to write these scripts.
Okay.
And I wrote one for they say, write one for yourself. And I was like, I need to unbrainwash myself from everything because I was already aware of it, but it's run so deep inside your mind. And I was like, I need to remove that. And so I made a script. And so what they did was you write it and somebody else hypnotizes you and reads it for you.
Okay.
And it was great. And everyone was like, I want to do that. It's like, remove that brainwashing.
Right.
And it's so relevant, especially nowadays where like there's so much around us. It's so overwhelming. And again, comes down to self-care. You need to take time for yourself.
Absolutely.
Know what you need as your own person. Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Thank you. Thank you so much for that information.
Yeah. No, you too. I mean, this is such a great conversation and hopefully your listeners are enjoying it. And hopefully if they don't take time for themselves are picking up on that's what you need to do.
This is what we need to do. Yep. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. All right. So I do have just a couple more questions for you. So what would you say is the craziest thing that has happened in a session for you?
Okay. I love learning lessons from my mistakes. I'm all about that. And that's why I love sharing the story. Cause at first I was really embarrassed. And then I realized like, this is a really good lesson. Mm-hmm. So it's good to share. So when I was training to be a hypnotherapist, you have to practice on people. So I would reach out to my friends and say, will you let me hypnotize you? Because you have to be willing, you have to want it and let somebody do it. So a friend of mine reached out and said, hey, I know a guy. he has some childhood trauma that he wants to work on. Would you be interested? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to help somebody. Woo. Like, yes. And so I meet with this guy on Zoom. I'm in New Hampshire. He's in California.
Okay.
And I just got all these like bad gut feelings with him when I was talking to him. All these red flags popped up. He wasn't really listening. I did a little practice session where I bring you into hypnosis. We go to a safe, secure, beautiful place. And then I bring you out of hypnosis. It was my way to gauge how you're going in. I have to keep working to bring you in deeper.
Right, right.
And then once you're in a safe, it's nice. Like you're going into what we call the safe place. It's beautiful, serene, relaxing. Right. Going in there is nice because then I say, this place is accessible to you at all times. Anytime you need to be there, just close your eyes and think of it and you're there. Even if you're somewhere, if you're driving or at work, just think about it and that feeling you get being there will come to you.
Yeah.
And so it's just like a nice little thing. And so I'm trying to do it with this guy and there's a reason why I'm saying guy, not gentleman. And so I'm trying to do it with this guy and he's just not listening. I tell people you want to be comfortable, a chair with a back or maybe laying down because when we're in hypnosis, our body sinks and we're kind of like, and I don't want you falling off your chair. That won't be good.
Yeah.
You have to be relaxed. And he's getting in these like weird yoga poses and I'm just like, no, like relax. And he just wouldn't follow instructions. He wouldn't listen. And so I'm doing this and I could tell he wasn't in hypnosis, but I thought, okay, I need to find what works for this guy. You know, I'm thinking maybe it's me. Maybe I need to work harder to find out what works for him.
Right.
So we move on to scheduling a session and that day comes. And again, not listening. Being defiant. And, you know, I tell my clients, please be ready for your session, ready to go. Mm-hmm. And he shows up, he's eating. And I'm like, why don't you come back when you're ready?
Yeah.
Because it was just so rude.
Right. Right.
And I was just so taken back by it. Like, really? But so he's like, he came back 2 minutes later and again, wasn't listening. And he went on his couch. And then he's like, I need to get somewhere more comfortable. I'm like, okay. And I could tell he's not going into hypnosis. And so the computer is like moving around and jiggling and everything. And then it's on his bed and he has like, and so like, I just see like him laying in bed from like, probably like the hips up, no shirt. And he has a blanket on him. And I'm like, well, no shirt. Okay. He's in California. Maybe it's hot. He might not have an air conditioner, but it just gave me a bad feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And so I notice his hand is like rubbing. It looked like his leg. And I thought, okay, like, cause my first thought, don't you dare be doing what I think you're doing.
Right.
And I'm thinking, okay, I know people when they're like stress or anything, they have to touch something soft or silky. Right. It's a touch thing. It's a sensory thing. And I'm thinking maybe it's a sensory thing and he just is touching the blanket. And again, I'm trying to focus on him getting in hypnosis and he's acting like he is, but I can tell he isn't because I know. And it was just so funny because I'm just like, I think what's happening. I think it's actually happening. And sure enough, the blanket goes sticking straight up. And then it falls off and he is touching himself. And the funniest thing was, I was just like, my first thought in my mind was, I am a married woman. How dare you? And I was just like, I was so mad because it was like, it's so violating to do that when somebody's truly trying to help you, but also because my gut told me something was wrong with this guy and I didn't listen. Right. So when you go into hypnosis, you need to come out of hypnosis. So I just, on the count of three, you know, you're going to be, I just did 1, 2, 3, boom, you're out. And I said, that is extremely disrespectful and unprofessional. I will never work with you again. End session.
Yeah.
And he was trying to apologize and everything. I'm like, no, I'm not having it. And then he like emailed me trying to apologize and asking for another chance. I'm like, hell no. And so after speaking, it was funny, I was speaking with some of my colleagues who are friends, and I told them what happened. And I was like, did I do the wrong thing by ending the session? Should I have tried to work harder to find out what's really going on with him? They're like, oh no, that I wouldn't have even emerged him if somebody did that to me. That's wrong. And I'm like, okay, so like I was trying to be professional still.
Right, right.
But after, you know, talking about it, I came and my friends helped me come to the realization, this had nothing to do with me. This was a control issue. Right. He refused to go into hypnosis. He pretended like he did, but I knew he wasn't. He refused to listen. He wanted control of the situation.
Right.
And I don't even think it was sexual. I think it was a control thing.
One. Yeah.
And so by me not allowing him to even apologize or talk to him or help him after, that was me not letting him have that, control anymore.
Yep.
But it was really sad. Like, again, I really wish that guy the best. Like, I hope he finds what he needs in life so he can get better and release that need for control. But for me, it made me realize, like, your gut is always right. And you know this. So why didn't you listen to your gut?
Yep. Yep.
And I think it's so important because I know for myself and many others that I've spoken to, our gut feeling's right, but people talk us out of it. You'll say, I have a bad feeling about this person. Oh, no, no, it's going to be fine. You just need to give them a chance. And it's like, you don't know them either, but I'm getting a bad feeling from them. Like in my gut, like something is wrong. And my gut is always right.
Yeah.
Time has proven it to be right. And those people I've given chances to turn out, there's a reason why I got that feeling. But we're so easily talked out of trusting our gut.
Right.
And it's so important when you get a gut feeling something's wrong, go with it. If you're getting red flags, it's for a reason.
Yep. Yep.
Go with it. Allow yourself to say, you know what? I'm going to sit out of this one.
Right.
I'm all set.
Right. Give yourself permission.
Yes.
You have to give yourself permission for those things.
Exactly. Yep. And again, we forget because that's being selfish.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Or if I'm sort of like taking that time for myself, taking that self back, and it could be seen as like I'm not listening to that person, or I'm passing judgment on that person. And I think that's the biggest thing that I've been hearing is like, I'm passing judgment on this person. I can't do that, and that goes against my values. And,
yeah, and you know what's interesting with that? We all judge people.
100%.
You know, you get that thing in your mind where you're like, okay, whether it's right or wrong.
Right.
And I try to tell people like, it's okay to have that pop in your mind, but think about it. Why are you acting that way?
Exactly.
What is it? Is it something because something happened to you and it's triggering? Or is it something you're getting a feeling? Like, why are you getting that? And think about like, allow yourself to process that. And that's another thing. Like I tell people with emotions, it's okay to get angry. We're human.
Mm-hmm.
Allow yourself to feel angry, but then focus on why you're feeling angry and then what you can do about it. Don't wallow in it. Don't let it dwell. You have to move on, but it's okay to feel it.
Yep.
Like we're being told like, you know, don't feel your feelings. Like we have to, we're human.
Right. We have to. And
that's okay.
It's okay. Everyone has feelings.
Yes.
Feel them, normalize it. It's okay.
It is. It's okay to feel your feelings. That's why they're there.
Exactly. Okay. And so aside from like that information that you just gave, like, is there anything else that you feel would be beneficial for the listeners to know about hypnotherapy, Reiki, tarot, anything?
Well, I think with hypnotherapy, if it's something you're interested in doing for yourself, you have to want it. Mm-hmm. For anything to work, you have to want it. You have to be willing. So if you want to come to me because somebody is telling you you need to change something about yourself, but you don't want to, it won't work.
Right.
So don't waste your time. When you're ready, then do it.
Yep.
And essentially, just don't be afraid to do something for yourself, like we discussed earlier, because you're worth it. We're all worth time for ourselves.
Yes.
We're worth the money for ourselves. I mean, It's funny the comparison of like, well, I'm going to go to McDonald's and spend $10 on a meal, but I won't, you know, drop $100 or $200 on a therapy session that would actually be good and beneficial for me, but I can eat, you know, $10 McDonald's meals, you know, 5 days a week.
Right.
And it's kind of like, where's that balance?
Yeah.
You know, like we have to find balance in our lives. And part of that is taking care of yourself. So, and don't be afraid of opening up in front of other people. Don't feel embarrassed. Like, we're professionals,
right?
Whether it's through me, you, somebody else, like, we're professionals. I follow a code of ethics and, you know, I hold that very important, which is why I don't like to give names of people. I try to be careful with the stories that I share because I want to respect people's privacy.
Exactly.
I'm really big on that.
Absolutely.
So I don't even like tell my family. It's like, you know, I might say I have a client and this stuff came up, but I don't get in specifics. I don't give names. I don't give details. It's like, that's your stuff. That's between us. So if that's holding you back from really opening up to work on yourself, think about like where you're going. You want to make sure that you're with somebody, an actual professional, which is why I think it's important to go with people who are certified or licensed, because you want them to follow that code of ethics. Anyone can learn how to hypnotize someone on YouTube.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
But it's what you do when you're in there.
Yep.
So just don't be afraid. Fear is a prison of the mind.
Yes.
That's all it is. Don't be afraid. Yes. You're worth the time. And I just want to let people know that they are worth it.
Thank you so, so very much.
Thank you.
And where can people find you?
You can find me on my website, innerstandingshypnosis.com. That's innerstandingshypnosis.com. Because we don't understand. We don't stand under people to get things. We take that information and we bring it within ourselves and we hold it in. If it holds true to us, it stays within us.
Yes.
So that's why it's innerstandingshypnosis, because we innerstand.
I love that.
Yes. And you can schedule a free 20-minute consult with me. I like to tell people that if my schedule doesn't work with yours, please send me an email. Mm-hmm. I try my best to be flexible and work things out with people to find something that we can work together on finding a day and time that works for you.
Yeah.
If you're interested in a tarot reading or Organite, you can go to my website, tarotbymonique.com. And the link for both, I think, is on either website if you want to go to one or the other. And I'm on Twitter at Monique PCHT, which stands for Monique Pliakis, Certified Hypnotherapist.
Gotcha. Okay. And yes, I will actually link all of these things in the show notes on the website as well.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you so much for having me on your show. This has been such a wonderful conversation.
Thank you for being here. And this has... It has opened up my eyes to so many more things as well. So I thank you for being here. And I definitely enjoyed this
I time. Did too. I hope your listeners did.
Yes. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
All right. So that is it for this episode. I would like to thank Monique for being here today and having these conversations with me around hypnosis and hypnotherapy and past life regressions and all of that ties and how it ties back to mental health. If you would like to connect with Monique, you can follow her on Twitter at Monique PCHT, or you can go to her website, which is innerstandingshypnosis.com, or you can reach out to her by email at monique@innerstandingshypnosis.com. I would like to thank you all for listening, and until next time.